This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. And as you can see by the offseason moves that the Red Sox have made, they have opted out of the 2026 playoffs and maybe the 2026 season. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My lovely co-host for this one, wearing the Boston Red Sox cap with a fresh take I'm expecting today on this show. Terry Cushman, Cushman MLB. I don't know how you're feeling, Terrence, but I'm feeling pretty much the same as I did yesterday and the day before that and the day before that about this team. How are you feeling?
Yeah, sometimes I look at this hat and I'm like, why do I even wear it? You know, like, it's just such a disgrace of a team. I have a Red Sox license plate on the front of my car. In South Carolina, you only have rear plates. So you put it.
Oh, it's one of those states.
Yeah, so you can put anything you want on the front.
Right.
And, you know, so I have a black and gold, you know, Red Sox plate for my car. And it's just, what a joke of a team. Like, I don't have any pride. This, wearing this hat isn't a sense of pride anymore. Like, this hat doesn't, this B right here, the YouTube crowd is getting the visual. But
I will not spend a dime on Red Sox anything this year.
Right,
until they put a proper product out.
When you used to look at this B, you'd think of all the people in the last, you know, earlier part of this century that made it great. You look at this B, you think of Pedro Martinez, you know, you think of Curt Schilling, David Ortiz, you know, Josh Beckett, John Lester, Dustin Pedroia. You think of all of those people that made it great, and now what is it? This hat right here, this is, no offense to these guys, but it's, this hat is Romy Gonzalez. This hat is, you know, it's the 1 year deal guy that you don't love, that you're mad that you got and you can't wait to get rid of. In the pipe dream that next winter will be the one where you become the Boston Red Sox again. So I think this hat's a joke, the shirts I have. I just, there's no pride in wearing them anymore. And I know we come across as negative, but I have to harp on this over and over again. If the team is bad, our numbers are going to be bad. Like, people just aren't interested in Red Sox content when the team is bad. We had a record year this year because you had some controversies. You did have a playoff run. So it was an interesting year, which is good for content creating. But, you know, last year we'll have done about 90,000 downloads less than we did this year. And because last year was trash, we had a joke of a winter, kind of like we're having now.
Yeah.
We signed Giolito. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't think we signed a bat, you know.
Oh, but Giolito was the Yeah. Giolito was, you're right. Yeah. That before. Was last off season and he didn't play, got injured. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's just kind of a joke, but speaking of jokes, Munetaka Murakami has signed with a joke of an organization.
It's true. There's no pressure there, but I mean, if he flames out after 2 years, there's no way he's getting another shot. 2 years, $34 million. That is a wild, wild low result in what they were believing. The four writers thought that Munetaka Murakami was going to get 8 years, $180 million, playing corner spots of the infield. Two of the four thought the Mets, one the Red Sox, and one the Dodgers, probably because the Dodgers always get whatever they want. But I mean, Dodgers didn't want him. Red Sox didn't get him. No surprise there. Mets, I don't think we're gonna have a need for him. So if there was a team that he was going to play for, it was going to be a team that wasn't relevant. There was really no team that was going to commit the years or the dollars to somebody who had home run numbers in the past a couple years ago, but is all of a sudden seen that strikeout percentage increase significantly and the ability to hit fastballs past 93 miles an hour in a league that's not superior is a bit intimidating. So good luck to the Chicago White Sox. They've managed to break a lot of players and almost borderline end a couple of careers. But I mean, Andrew Vaughn left Chicago and he went to Milwaukee and then turned into a star. So maybe he just needs to get his foot in the door for a couple of years and then sign a bigger deal. And hopefully he can do something. But I don't know about you, Terry. I'm not expecting anything from him.
Yeah, I can't remember if I did that show where we covered his part of free agency. But I remember my thought being 180 over 8 years is way too long. There's no reason for anybody to expect Murakami to get more than what Yoshida got. I mean, that would be insane. And Yoshida was hyped, you know, he was a high on base guy. He had decent enough power. You know, there weren't any serious red flags. I think there's red flags on every Asian market bat that's not Shohei Ohtani, because it's just, they very seldom ever pan out. I mean, a few of them have. I know Seiya Suzuki has had a respectable career so far with the Cubs, and Haesung Kim has shown potential. He's coming off an injury. So, but you just don't get those. I think everybody expects these Japanese guys to, and the Korean guys to be potentially perennial all-stars, and it seldom ever works out. And then with Murakami, there were red flags, like you said. I mean, he's a 30 hit tool on the 20/80 scale, and I'm not an expert on this, but I know 30 is really bad. And he had a 0.95 batting average against fastballs over 93.5 miles per hour. So 94 miles an hour faster. Let's just say it. Let's just make it easier. Can't hit it. Can't catch up to it. That was Ruzny Castillo's problem. Remember that, the great Cuban myth that we...
Oh, yeah.
We signed.
Yeah. He was a professional minor leaguer.
Yeah, and I thought that was fine at the time. I mean, that was 1 year after Abreu, and, you know, I kind of bought into the hype of Castillo, but yeah, he just couldn't hit the fastball, and I think after 2014, never saw the light of day in Major League Baseball ever again.
It's, you know, we've seen players in Major League Baseball really just be boom or bust. Like, I think of like Adam Dunn. And if you look at Adam Dunn's numbers, like, I'm pretty sure he had 3 years. I'm not looking at it right now. I'm pretty sure he had 3 years of like 40 homers, 101, 102 RBIs. You had Joey Gallo, who was really big boom or bust. Either it was a home run or a strikeout. Dunn was the same way. And then there's Miguel Sanu, who played as recently as last year, but he was just the epitome of, you're either going to get, you know, a home run and that fell off dramatically, or you're going to strike out, but nothing in between. And I mean, I don't need that on this team. There is already so much that isn't going to work out. I don't need another black hole on this team. And that's essentially what that would be. We just don't need it.
Yeah. I mean, we're counting down the years to the end of the Yoshida deal. I'm still kind of doing it with the Trevor Story deal. I mean,
I'm giving that one a pass. I have to give that a pass now. He more made up for it this past year.
Yeah, I mean, he was serviceable, you know.
Absolutely.
More than we thought. But is there going to be regression? There can't be regression for that deal to be good. So
I would agree.
So I'm just thinking, you know, it's still kind of a long shot that he's going to, and the defense has regressed as well. So
that's fair. That's fair to say. But I mean, he's getting paid a little bit more than Yoshida. I think it would hurt even more if Yoshida was getting the $25 million that Story's getting, and Story's getting the 18.6 or 18.7 that Yoshida's getting, you know? So, I mean, all in all, I think between the two, I don't think you're going to disagree with me here. I think that if you had to qualify / quantify which one's had the better singular year as a member of the Red Sox, we'd say Trevor Story. His 2025 campaign was epic. He broke the record for the most consecutive stolen bases without getting caught. You know, like I know that's not the only statistic that matters, but to me that helps. I mean, you're doing whatever you can to turn a single into a double. He did it 30 times this year.
He also, I mean, he's our only everyday infielder right now, which is insane. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
So here's a couple of questions. We'll start with the first one.
Yeah.
Did the Red Sox by design decide at some point in October, we're just not going to spend money? We'll try to make some good trades, but we're not going to sign a free agent this year for whatever reason.
That's a really good question.
And the reason why I get to that is sometimes they just have these goofy concepts. Like if you go back to the 2015 season, and I know a lot of people, that's not going to stand out, but you know, as a content creator, what stands out to me was they tried to reinvent a pitching rotation using strictly the ground ball theory. Like they wanted a ton of ground ball guys. So they went and got Justin Masterson, Wade Miley. Wade Miley was a free agent. And then they traded for Rick Porcello. They targeted him because he was a sinker heavy guy, I think, at the time, and got a lot of ground balls. So And I think Bill James was behind that. That was the last real big Bill James year where he was really influencing things. And we were in the toilet right away. Like it wasn't a viable thing.
Right. Yeah. 2015 was also the Pablo Hanley year, right? Wasn't that the year that we signed both of them?
Coming into it. Yeah. So and that was another part of it. So they're used to making these aggressive pivots with these wild, you know, expectations behind a certain theory. So that's what I'm saying. Did some brainiac in that front office think, oh, we don't even need to sign a free agent this year. We can just make trades and address it that way. Cause that's all we've done. Right. We have not signed one single penny. I'm not exaggerating. Not a single.
No, that's correct. Right.
Like a homeless guy has spent more money on a beer than the Red Sox have spent at all on this free agency season. We haven't spent any money and we're acting like a poverty franchise all of a sudden again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just minor league deals and trades. That's all we've done.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. And you and I have talked about this before. And I think Jason too, this is a couple of years back. So I'm thinking of like the core four that have been here for a minute here. The Boston Red Sox making the playoffs would have been the worst case scenario for 2026 for so many reasons, because it gives the front office this false illusion that we're a playoff team. And we're not. We're not. Because you know, at the end of the year, you're losing one or two pieces. I cannot tell you how many times I have to stress the emphasis of, you traded Rafael Devers, one of the better power hitters in the game, and you got nothing back. You've also not replaced that level of power. You also never really replaced Tyler O'Neill's power from the prior season. So two straight years, you've eliminated elite power. Now, Tyler O'Neill hasn't done what he did for us that year. It was a flash in the pan. He was a really cool foot soldier. Really enjoyed him being a member of the Red Sox. I'm not losing any sleep over it. I am, however, losing sleep over the fact that you haven't replaced Rafael Devers. You can't expect to go into 2026 with no elite power hitters. You haven't replaced Alex Bregman, who you and I are aligned we don't want to bring back. Not at the number that he wants. $390 would be a very steep contract that I don't think I'm willing to go for that guy. Now, there are a couple other players that I want to talk about with you really quickly. Kyle Tucker, Bo Bichette, and Cody Bellinger. Now, there's one thing that two of those three guys have, and we have a plethora of it, and that's left-handed bats. So, Kyle Tucker, left-handed bat, and Cody Bellinger, left-handed bat. Cody Bellinger, expecting to get a $400 million contract because his agent is playing Monopoly and just not really understanding that that's not real life. That's not going to happen. And Kyle Tucker is expected to possibly sign with the Toronto Blue Jays. If that happens, it's going to be Toronto Blue Jays and Los Angeles Dodgers World Series repeat again. All the other teams that are investing money, you're a flash in the pan, shot in the dark to make the final two teams. The fact of the matter is, you cannot look at this team, if you're a member of the front office or the owner of this club, and say, I feel confident about the product that we have on the field. And I feel confident that we're going to be able to compete in 2026. Because if you think that we're a 90-win team, you're out of your mind. If you think we're an 85-win team, you're out of your mind. If you think we're an 80-win team, I'd love to know the name of your bartender. Because we're not. We're just not there. And that's before injuries set in. And who knows? What if you do lose Trevor Story? What if you do lose Garrett Crochet? You've lost your possibly best hitter. And without a question, your best pitcher, arguably the best pitcher in the game. So I don't know how anybody can say that we're going to be in contention. This team is going to get throttled so damn hard. It's not funny. There are going to be blowouts. I mean, I hope it's not like the Toronto at Fenway Park when they dropped, what was it, 27 on us that game and set the record in the American League when Jaren Duran lost the ball in center field, right? And I like Jaren Duran. But like that was a really just bad game. And that guy that hit the home run, I can't remember his name. Was it Romel? I think it was Romel Tapia. Romel Tapia, I think, hit the grand slam inside the park. And we just got completely embarrassed, right? We are going to be embarrassed on a more consistent basis in 2026. This is the ugliest team I think we're probably going to see. And it's really, really sad. On top of all that, I don't think Kyle Tucker, Bo Bichette, or Cody Bellinger want to come to Boston. Because here's the thing. I think the Kyle Tucker sweepstakes, I think that's out. That's just not happening. $400 million, we're not doing that. Why are we not doing that? Well, you had $313 million or $312 million, whatever Devers' deal was over 11 years, and you traded him in year two. So you clearly don't want a $300 million guy on your team. Kyle Tucker's taking notes. I don't want to go to Boston. Bo Bichette is younger than Bregman, as all of us know. Is going to be a better player than Alex Bregman, which all of us should know, has playoff pedigree, just like Alex Bregman, but isn't going to be breaking down, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed here, nearly as often and as frequently as Bregman. I don't trust Bregman. I think he's got another year maybe left before he's completely out and just done, you know? And the last name, Cody Bellinger, isn't coming to Boston because he's not going to get the contract he wants, and Boston isn't going to give it to him. So he's going to be another one that signs probably another, like, 1 year, $30 million deal, prove it. And we'll see what happens for 2027 for him. But it's going to be a very, very ugly year. My rant is over. Terry, I give you the floor.
So the interesting thing right now is Bellinger is hurting Kyle Tucker's market or vice versa. One of them are hurting the other because only one of them is going to get the big deal. And in all likelihood, it will be Kyle Tucker. And then Bregman and Bichette, I don't know if it's quite as extreme with those two canceling each other out, but I don't think it helps either one of them that the other is still available. So, and I think the best bang for the buck is, Bo Bichette of the two, and we've covered that almost ad nauseum. And I think the expectation is he would play second. I think he'd probably be better at third. I don't know about his arm though, so I guess perhaps that's the difference. But But, you know, Justin in the chat was mentioning, you know, can Cody Bellinger sign solve the first base problem? And I was just looking at his splits, and he's a lefty, so that's kind of what the problem is. I mean, ideally, we need to get more righty balance, as I've been screaming about since the previous winter. But last year, well, actually, let me start off with this. He's got even splits his whole career, basically. He's about a 265 hitter against lefties. Lefties. 267 to be exact, 257 against righties. So he hits lefties at a better average. His on base is almost identical, 335 against righties, 332 against lefties. Now, where there is some disparity is the home runs. Even though he hits lefties a little bit better for average, he hits righties extremely well, you know, for power. 161 career home runs against right-handed pitching, 64 against lefties. And last year it was 21 home runs against righties, 8 or 9 against lefties. So the power is going to be, you know, off of right-handed pitchers. But if he's going to be relegated to a 2 or 3 year deal again, I just wonder, could that be a face saving move, even though it's not a perfect fit?
I don't know, T. I mean, this has been the silliest offseason. People thinking that certain players are going to get dumb contracts. It doesn't happen. I honestly thought last year, before Bregman signed with the Red Sox, he was going to sign a 1 year, like, crazy money deal. Prove it. Prove that you can handle a 5-6 year deal. And the Red Sox ended up giving 3 $120 million, which I thought was absolutely insane. But opt-outs after every year, and I was praying that he was going to opt out. Thankfully, prayers answered. He's gone. And now, allegedly, maybe Arizona's going to get him, and they're tinkering with how to make it all work and fit. Dude, I don't know. I really don't know. Scott Boras, as far as I'm concerned with Scott Boras, he better figure it out for Cody Bellinger, because if Cody's sitting there not getting a big deal, he's going to be pretty upset. He's going to be very, very annoyed. And you're right. Certain contracts are holding up other contracts from going through. And I'm curious which domino is going to be the first one to fall. Kyle Tucker allegedly is going to be a Toronto Blue Jay. Hasn't happened yet.
I think Tucker will sign first. That's what I'm thinking. And then Boras is going to use as much leverage as he can to get Bellinger as close to that as he can. And I don't think it will be close. Bregman and Bichette don't seem to... You're hearing way more Bregman rumors for some reason than you are with Bichette. So I think if Toronto signs Tucker, and that's kind of what I expect at this point, if Toronto signs him, then Bichette will suddenly, you'll start to see more activity or more buzz with his market, because I think what's going on right now is Toronto's trying to sign Tucker, and if not, they will pivot back to Bichette and just kind of bring him home. But I don't think they want to sign both. And Bichette's market, it's, what is it? I mean, to me, in an ideal world, it's 7 years, $175 million. So that's 25 per. But occasionally you see someone speculate he could get 210, 2.25, something like that. So I over like 8 or 9 years. So I don't know what's realistic with Bichette at this point.
No, I mean, I think that Bo Bichette probably is going to sign an 8 year deal minimum. I don't think he's going, there's only one or two teams that are going to get him. I don't think there was rumors and speculation like, oh, maybe Bo Bichette will go to New York. I don't think that's happening either. Like, I don't buy it. And so Bo Bichette will probably get somewhere in the 27 to 30 million per year. He's probably going to get, what's 27.5 times 8? 220. He's probably going to get 8-220. That's what I think is going to get the job done. If he goes back to Toronto, he might give them like a hometown discount, but I don't know if that's going to happen yet either. You know, I just, it'd be insane if they could make it work to get both, but I don't think they're going to get Kyle Tucker and Bo Bichette, because if they do that, then they just built a super team in Toronto again. They just did it again and it's over, you know?
There's something about the Blue Jays. I don't trust that they're definitely going back to the World Series. They should, but the inconsistency is just kind of, you know, still a dark cloud for me. And what is their rotation? I mean, you got Gausman for one more year. They're trying to trade Berríos. They've got the young kid there, LeSavage, who had some big moments in the postseason, but I guess they just don't quite have that stud rotation like the Dodgers do that can get them there. And one team that I think can really kind of steal the winter here is the Orioles. If they get Framber Valdez and maybe one more sneaky good guy, and suddenly I think they're in the conversation to possibly win the American League East. That offense is just robust.
I mean, I hear you. I don't think that they're going to be better than Toronto, though. And I could be wrong, right? I mean, all of us thought like New York one year was going to be garbage, and no one thought Baltimore was going to win another year when they ended up going off. So anything is possible, that's for sure. But I think Toronto does have a slight edge here. I think they do have an edge.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, they're the ones coming off the World Series run, and the Orioles totally whiffed last year. I mean, I can't remember if I had them as a playoff team, but not many people had them missing, let's put it that way. And right, they did bad, and they fired Brandon Hyde, which still kind of shocks me. But yeah, I'm pulling up the pitching right now for Toronto because I'm blanking on their rotation. Let's see. So they've got, they signed Cease. Duh. Okay. Yeah, you could be right. You know what? That could be a very good rotation. They're bringing Bieber back.
Bieber opted in.
Yeah. So
I don't think it was.
He did opt in. You're right. Right. And then they have that Cody Ponce guy who had, I don't have his strikeout per nine, but it was off the charts in whichever league he pitched last year. I want to say it was a Korean league. It was definitely across the Pacific. And he had something gross, like 200 something strikeouts for like 150 innings. I don't remember what it was, but
right.
But he was their sneaky good signing for the winter. So, yeah, it could be Toronto again. Dylan Cease is a wild card to me, though. I mean, he hasn't looked good the last couple of years. So we'll see what that Toronto pitching program can do, you know, in terms of maybe getting him back to a Cy Young level form.
They're serious. I mean, Toronto Blue Jays are willing to put their money where their mouth is. It'd be awesome if we had a franchise like that. You know, when I was growing up, I mean, Toronto Blue Jays, oh God, who they have? They had, you know, Carlos Delgado was their big first baseman in the 90s, early 2000s, and he was an absolute star. They had, you know, Tony Fernandez, who was an infielder who always seemed to have Pedro's number, and that was nuts. Roger Clemens obviously defected, and he went to Toronto for a couple of years, but they were never the best team, and they were really like fun to watch when Roy Halladay was there. But I mean, they were never Sean Green for a little while. I mean, they were never that exciting. Now this team is fun to watch. I think you said this right last year, like Toronto is a fun team to watch. They're going to be fun. Like you're not going to boo Toronto. You're just not, you know? And now that Bautista's not there anymore, it's a fun team to watch because I couldn't stand him. I could not stand that guy. It's hard to boo this team. I understand why people want to boo the Red Sox, not because they're bad, but because it's just like the owners don't care. There's not much difference between the White Sox and the Red Sox right now. Both owners don't care. They're just going to sell the pipe dream of, yeah, it's Fenway Park. It's going to be a great time. You're going to love it. Don't worry about the 11-2 loss. Just enjoy the stadium, the atmosphere. That's going to be 2026. We're going to get throttled.
And, you know, it'll be interesting once Vegas starts putting the lines out for, you know, what the win totals are. And we saw a projection last week. I think it was just an MLB Network analyst. It might have even been an ex-player that works there. It had the Red Sox in fifth for the American League East. So, you know, Tampa just traded Shane Baz to the Orioles. So, right. You know, and that escaped me just a minute ago too. So that could be their sneaky good move. Now go get Framber Valdez, and I think they're going to compete. I think they're a 90-plus win team if they do get a Valdez guy. And then we'll see.
Yeah.
That's going to be the fun story, is Baltimore versus Toronto this year in the division.
Yeah, it's not going to be us. It's not going to be us at all. I mean, Shane Baz, the thing about him is that he could never stay healthy. You know, the guy just could not put a healthy year together. You look at his numbers. He became a member of Major League Baseball in 2021. Three games in 21, six games in 22, did not play in 23, only 14 games in 24. So through your first 4 years in the bigs, you had 23 starts. Now, last year was an anomaly year. He played 31, but his ERA was almost five. So what are you going to get? You're also now in your mid-20s. You know, this is going to be someone who, I don't know what's going to happen with Bass. He was originally, he was drafted by Pittsburgh too, I'm pretty sure. And he got traded. And I'm trying to remember, I have to look it up because I can't remember what the trade was. Was that for... Oh, it was Chris Archer. Holy crap. Pittsburgh Pirates sent a player to be named later, Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows, to the Tampa Bay Rays for Chris Archer. That's unbelievable. Shane Baz, I have no words for that. That's absolutely nuts.
Well, I'm pulling up his Savant chart right now, but for some reason, the nerds really liked him. So... fastball velocity, 88th percentile. He's up there. Ground ball rate. He's a big ground ball guy. A lot of hitters tend to chase quite a bit. So, you know, we'll see. But you know, clearly, you know, they like the metrics there on him. And you know, that's like I said, you just need a sneaky good signing, and that fits that criteria because the expectations aren't super high.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be very, very interesting, dude. I mean, oh God, it'd be fun if we took a chance on at least someone who has the opportunity to be possibly sexy. Instead, we're getting, we know what we're gettings and hopefullys, but not like, you know, the Lucas Giolito one, when people blasted it, myself and a former co-host both said this could be a really, really smart addition. And for year two of that deal, it did work out. And Giolito did do a really good job. It's unfortunate he wasn't able to pitch in the postseason, but that's what happens with Giolito. He does tend to break down. We got none of those. We got a guy who can pitch innings, but 91 mile an hour fastball, or what's Sonny Gray? 91, 92, right?
92.7, to be exact.
Okay, so 93. That's a hittable pitch. So it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be very, very interesting. So I don't know. I mean, a couple days left. I don't think there's gonna be too many surprises. I think Kyle Tucker's gonna either go to, you know, Toronto. Maybe there might be one of the surprise team. I think you're right. If Kyle Tucker does not land in Toronto for whatever reason, Bo Bichette goes back. And if Toronto is somehow able to land both of those, the American League is over. The American League East is 100% over, and the Red Sox have no chance. You're basically playing for fourth place. You're playing for the fourth best team in the American League because you're not the top three, and you're not a playoff team.
No, and it's just going to be, I don't know how they're going to survive the PR blitz against them. Like I said yesterday on social media, that the Red Sox fan base is one Ketel Marte trade to the Rays away from all-out war against our owners, basically.
Yeah, buckle up. Could be a fun one. I got nothing else, D. Anything else you want to add?
I got nothing else.
That is going to do it for the Bastards. For anybody interested in checking out some great articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go. For Terry and myself, it has been a great one. Go Red Sox. Take care.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.